What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Endless Obsession, a Between the Buried and Me podcast. I am one of your hosts, John Bernardo, and across the hyperspace is my pal, Joshua Delaney. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I noticed I went more melodic this time instead of the angry growls.
I was going to say, is there a reason for that?
I don't know. This album felt more, a lot of melody here. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Chocked full.
If you're tuning into this for the first time, we're listening to every Between the Buried and Me album leading up to Colors 2, which comes out this week. So we're not going to straight into Colors 2. I know, right? We're not going straight into Colors, but you know, we started a little bit late, but hey, we'll have more time to dissect it.
Yeah, it'll give us some listening time.
Yeah, more time than we usually give things.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? An album that we did give a lot of time to.
What?
Oh, I thought you... dead silence. I figured you were going to answer it for me. Oh, jeez Christ, you didn't work together long enough.
The Parallax Hypersleep Dialogues-EP.
Yes. Hypersleep Dialogues. Fun fact about this one. Recorded in Mississauga, Ontario and Toronto, Ontario. That's where I am, or I was. It was recorded at Metalwork Studio in Mississauga and Rattlebox Studios in Toronto. It was engineered by David Bottrell, so it was the first one in a while that Jamie King didn't produce. It was engineered and produced by David Bottrell, but it was mixed and mastered by Jamie King, so you still have that clean mixing. Another fun fact, David Bottrell actually did vocal production on my band's last EP that I released ages ago.
No shit.
So that's cool.
Yeah, oh, no I shit. Did not know that. Yeah.
It was a thing that my friend who was our acting manager knew him and got the contact, and we basically all we could afford him for is to come over and do vocals. But he's done Slipknot, he's done Stone Sour, he's done Between the Buried and Me. You can hear by some of the vocal stuff, like, he knows what he's doing. So he definitely took everything to the next level. Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Damn,
which is a fun fact for you.
I think he's produced, or he's like engineered for Tool too.
Yeah, exactly.
Produced. Damn.
Yeah, and the studio that they recorded at Metalworks, we recorded our drums there. So that was that's fun too.
Nice. You are 1 degree away from opening for Between the Buried and Me.
Yeah, right. The biggest band we've opened for was Chimera and Unearth, but Chimera was at the end of their cycle, so they were playing a small club, and Unearth was starting to slow down in popularity because the venue they usually pack was half full. So
I forgot about Unearth. I think I remember they had a song on the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie soundtrack.
That was a good show for its time. I don't know if it'll still hold up now, but that was a fun show.
Oh yeah.
We're not here to talk about Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but maybe we will one day.
Excited for our Unearthed podcast. Just kidding.
I don't know. I don't think I can get... Like, I used to love Unearthed. I don't think I can get behind that.
No,
I need something with more substance.
Yeah. Album.
Yeah. We're talking about the Parallax EP, right?
Yes. Yes.
I got to say, I don't got a lot of notes on the music this time.
Me neither.
I know this is more lyrically driven. My reason for not having a lot of notes of it musically is because musically it's too fucking awesome. Like, from beginning to end, dude, like, this is the this is what was wrong with the Great Misdirect, is that the Great Misdirect felt like, let's just continue to not evolve. And this one was, nothing they did here sounded like anything they did before. Everything sounds fresh.
Yeah. And for the record, if for those listening that might not know much about the EP, this is only 3 tracks, still clocks in at about 30 minutes on the dot, and that's because we have an 11 minute song, a 10 minute song, and an 8 minute song. So this thing is like longer than some studio albums. And it's an EP.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It is definitely not devoid of substance just because it's an EP. This isn't like, oh, here's some B-sides and throwaways. Like, this is like a thing they did that has like purpose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm just listening to, I can make, I'll go through a few notes of stuff I have, but I really don't have much. Like, I think we'll break down song by song, but we can like maybe tap at the lyrics, because the most exciting thing about this is the story they're presenting. But yes, yeah, it is from top to bottom, you know, every single note plucked, everything is so well thought out, that especially coming off The Great Misdirect, it's so refreshing. Yeah. What did you think overall of the album?
I really like the CP. I think it's, you know, I don't have much experience with the Parallax 2, so I feel like it's a good taster for what's to come. Mm-hmm. And it's really just a chance for them to, like, kind of pivot and try something a little new and experiment a bit with their sound. And I think they paid off, like, it pays off really well here.
Yeah, exactly. So is there a standout track for you? Like, we're going to definitely tackle in this one differently. So, like, is there a standout track for you?
I think I really like Augment of Rebirth, the second track.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially how it like opens. It's like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. And this, it's even with this kind of the way they open that song with the like the sweep picking and the fast drums going behind it. Even though they've done songs like that before, even the chord progression or the note progression that they use on that sweep picking, mm-hmm. still it all sounds different. It all sounds like something else.
I felt
this song did, and we'll talk about the lyrics shortly with the Prospect 1 and Prospect 2, is that and I don't know if you saw that part in the lyrics, so I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah,
but it's almost like the different perspectives bring different music to it. Like in Augment of Rebirth, right when it's all of Prospect 1, which is the, let me just flip over my lyric sheet here. So when Prospect 1 comes in, which is the second paragraph, second bar or whatever, that whole part sounds very black metal.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It has very, you know what I mean? Like when they kind of let those chords ring out, it's very dark and evil sounding. And everything that goes with it, it's just, it's very evil. And we'll tap into that and why. But, and then, oh, the polka part near the end. Yeah. Oh my God, that was so good.
Oh, I love
it. So good. So, I don't know how much you read into it. So I'm going to read you the concept and storyline based off of Wikipedia, because it's short and condensed and it'll get us to the point.
Yeah.
So, The Parallax Hypersleep Dialogues opens with Prospect 1 waking up on an island in the middle of nowhere with no memory of how he got there. His last memory was of him drifting off in the ocean. While on the island, he keeps having these dreams about meeting himself. After not being able to decide whether he is alive or not, he is rescued by a boat and goes back to his old life. However, when he arrives, everything is gone. He had drifted off to sea on the old planet and awakened on the new planet. Prospect 2 works for the government on the old planet and is hired to go to the new planet and plant souls there for when the old planet dies. He is ordered to leave his family without explaining anything to them or seeing them ever again. On the trip to the new planet, he has hallucinations of meeting himself. After finishing his job, he goes back to the old planet only to find it has disappeared. Dude, don't tell me half of that isn't the plot to Interstellar. Did you watch that movie?
Yeah, here's where I confess I've never seen Interstellar, but it seems like that.
Without spoiling too much of it, like especially with Prospect 2, mm-hmm. that is half of that is the plot of Interstellar. And I need to see where those the movie and the album line up to see what came first.
Yeah.
So I would say from a concept, from just a story plot perspective, that is very, very cool. Like that whole thing.
Yeah, this precedes Interstellar. Interstellar came out in 2014.
So this was before it.
Yeah, this came out. The EP came out in 2011.
Very cool. Very cool. So hypersleep refers to a state of stasis, which denotes the suspension of passage of time by biological means. The lyrics often reference being asleep and drifting in and out of consciousness. And when one is asleep, hours can seem like mere moments or vice versa. Through this hypersleep, our two prospects may be able to become aware of each other. So they break down on that later in the story. But someone's saying that what makes this so fascinating is that we're familiar with the two prospects, whether we know it or not, like we talked about before. So this is what we, when we were talking about seeing the lyrics in previous albums.
Yeah.
This is what they were talking about. It was meeting these prospects. So the first time we meet a prospect, or not the first time, but we meet prospect one in Swim to the Moon.
Yeah.
From The Great Misdirect. And I have a few quotes from Paul and Tommy. So Paul, one of Paul's quotes via Teeth of the Divine, I think that's a blog. He says the EP actually picks up where Swim with the Moon left off to end The Great Misdirect. That story was basically about this guy who gets fed up with life and decides to go off on the suicidal trip where he just drifts off to the sea to die. And that song kind of ends there. And then Tommy says, it's kind of an awakening. The story doesn't have an ending yet, maybe. I kind of left it open-ended in case I want to touch on it at some other point. It's about a businessman who needs something new in his life. He goes to sea and basically floats and sees where it takes him. It gets him in a lot of trouble. It's kind of like Son of Nothing. It's his thought process evaluating everything he's done and everything he wants to do. What's important and what's not important. Because I think those are the kind of things I personally, over the last few years, have kind of looked into. There's so much shit that people worry about that really doesn't matter. There are only certain things that really make an impact on your life. And others, I guess those stories are about figuring out what I need in my life. And prospect number one is introduced as the character in Swim to the Moon, as we just talked about. He ultimately comes to the conclusion that he needs to get away from life. You know, he's tired of the stresses, depression, anxiety, regret, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's going into the direction of the moon, literally, kind of drifting out and seeing what's ahead of him. What do you make of all that?
That's a lot. Yeah. What do you make of all that?
I mean, it's kind of like, I get where it's going. I think, and it's easy to digest with just one person. Clearly, prospect one was unable to end his life or change his life in any way.
Yeah.
So we go to prospect number two, which we are introduced to in Prequel to the Sequel and Lost Perfection from 2003's The Silent Circus.
Oh, yeah. It all comes back to Silent Circus.
Which is crazy that he planted the seeds that early.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, I'm reading a whole note here, but they're saying here, this is where the story gets even more confusing. Fans of Between and Buried Me will sometimes notice in the liner notes and album lyrics, there are often lines that are not vocally sung on the album that were either lyrics that didn't make the full cut due to the song's phrasing or to help the listener better understand the meaning of the lyrics. Such is the case in the Parallax Hypersleep Dialogues during Lunar Wilderness when the following unsung lyrics are presented, which I didn't even realize when I was reading the lyrics. I was going, I'm following along. I'm like, where is this part? Because they have it in brackets. And the lyrics go like this. Did you notice that on what you were following, or did it not have the lyrics?
I did. I noticed like a big block of text, basically. I'm like, that's not in the song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the big block of text is, an out-of-focus picture brings up a familiar scenario. Three people fill the room. I remember hearing this before. Now that I think about it, three people fill the room. There seems to be a fourth, but very small. We're speaking about some sort of mission. My mouth won't stop moving, talking way too much. Even through the blur, I can feel their stares. This one-sided discussion seems to be about what I am preventing. Is this a sign? Too late. I've said it before. The people then disappear. I look about, and the western sky seems to be red, alone. I can smell burning flesh, scorched life. I turn around and the face of death stares so grim that the lids finally open. And they go on to say that this is a bit of a plot twist of sorts for those who enjoy to read along with the lyrics, as we discover that Prospect 2 is the man who, quote unquote, talks too much from Lost Perfection, Buck. Part A.
Yeah, I remember those lyrics now. From Silent Circus, yeah.
Before we delve into the story, though, we must go forward so we can rewind 4 years later after Lost Perfection was released. The band expanded upon the story in the track Prequel to the Sequel, which is obviously the prequel that details a poetic metaphor for the end of the world. And the lyric we want to export here is, The Headless Lover of Three, An Unspeakable Affair. Trees soon start to grow from what seemed like a lifeless neck, from a monster to a beauty in quick months. Its life seemed to be on its way to a rare freedom. It decided it should take advantage of his idea. So this started to catch the attention of the Unbranched. It had never experienced an affection of this kind. Years went by as it finally found true love, the love of others, three to be exact, letting them into every secret, feeding from every branch. This went on with no negative sense till the fifth year came around. It noticed its walking seemed more staggered than normal. The breeze didn't flow like it used to. The heart seemed to pound slower and slower. What caused this? It soon was noticed that these three had torn every branch, every single stem, torn it to its last life. How hadn't it noticed a drastic change in the surroundings? It didn't think anything could go wrong. It thought life was constant happiness, if constant happiness was all that was given out. If left its entire existence up to these three lovers, hints and all, they did as they pleased, and now staring to wilt away. They will see this lost perfection. It will come back around. Will the newborn live to tell this story? Rewind. That's all from that whole thing I just read. Is for all from the prequel to the sequel.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right? Just take it all in. Take it all in. I can stop at any time if you want to break it down.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Yeah, it seems pretty well broken down already. I was going to say, most of what I have looked into lyrics-wise is from the first track, Specular Reflection. And it seems like it picks right up, you know, like you had said, where, like, Swim to the Moon left off. This one opens with him kind of, like, crash landing and, like, coming to. Like, oh, shit, I've been drifting in, like, an ocean forever and... No, I mean, maybe he actually did swim to the moon, and it seems like there's a...
Well, it's like, at what point do you stop going, right?
Yeah.
Like, and clearly...
He says, like, this distant face, distant life, never before seen. One of the annotations in Genius, which is not reviewed, so it might not... It's probably just speculation, but it seems like it's foreshadowing prospect number two, like, this distant face, distant life, never before seen. So... Some interesting things setting up in this first track.
Very well said, Josh. Very well said. I'll go on here. So the next point we are talking about here is the three lovers, which is an important detail that connects these stories together, took advantage of this beautiful walking tree until it had nothing left to give, eventually wilting away. This is a clear metaphor for how we're all destroying our planet, an important theme going forward in the parallax concept, and harkens back to Lost Perfection, where the three lovers are in a room discussing the end of the world as seen from the newborn infant's point of view. The story retroactively picks up where the prequel to the sequel left off. And honestly, this is really easy for me to visualize because, again, this is Interstellar. Like, the basic plot of Interstellar is this. The planet's resources are limited. You know, farmers are the most important job in the world because, you know, we need crops and all that kind of stuff to survive. Yeah. But Earth is just a dust planet. So the whole point of the movie is that they go to space to find the next habitable planet. And I don't want to tiptoe into too much about what they do because there's a little tidbit that I can throw in there that kind of makes the movie even more wild. But yeah, basically they just go to space to find a new planet to inhabit. They have to find out which planet is able to be livable. So you can kind of see the similarities, especially with Prospect 2, where he is hired to go to the new planet when the old planet dies. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing, right? They even have a plan A and a plan B, whereas plan A is to, you know, find the planet, come back home, bring everybody slowly over, and plan B is to plant like eggs and give birth to new people on this new planet.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's going through, and I won't keep reading through all the lyrics because people can, but going through Lost Perfection B, it's established in there that Prospect 2 is one of the three lovers who took advantage of life, and now his home planet is either destroyed or on the brink of destruction. He is currently on a mission, which can be concluded that we currently find him on the way to Earth, a similar planet as his home planet, which may be facing the same fate. Paul actually spoke on this concept and said, the basic theme is humanity, a sort of domination and destruction of the planet. The idea that we're trying to explore is that there is a race like ours on Earth that has probably already happened somewhere in the universe. And the idea is that we're probably going to destroy this planet someday. The story is these two guys and how they can put their minds together to solve this problem or not. So that's the story leading up. This is all the story leading up to Hypersleep Dialogue that's been established.
Okay.
All right. So far we got our two guys. We have why, like who they were before, their prequels and their origins and how they came to be. So just to recap, it takes like before this even takes place, Prospect One is floating out to sea while expected to die, and Prospect Two is facing a mission of sorts brought about the end of his home planet. There are reoccurring themes and lyrics presented throughout the whole story, including mirrors and reflections, silence, which you'll see the word silence is a lyrical thing that's dropped a lot, especially in Lunar Wilderness, and a lot of throwbacks to Swim to the Moon, of course. So the EP is meant to just be a brief introduction that sets the stage for Parallax 2, a future sequence. So think of this EP as almost like a stream of consciousness telling the struggles of the both prospects as they both come to reality with the situation that they're going to be going into. So yeah, so it seemed like, I think the way I was kind of reading it out at first is a lot of information. It sounds like it's confusing, but based from the basic point, you get what's going on, right?
Oh yeah.
Like I think the introductions, if anything, make things just a little bit more confusing. I think just reading a conclusion of it, like how we've read off Wikipedia and all that, just kind of puts you in the right set. I don't think anything before really needs much.
Yeah, the broad strokes idea is there, and it's pretty concise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it seems like we've come a long way to get to this particular setup.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's quite the runaround.
He's probably also like, because like, I mean, he started the seeds of this back in the Silent Circus, and maybe he maybe he had some of the future story beats planned out, or maybe he was making it up as he went. Yeah. Or developing things, or maybe like changing some things around retroactively. So, you know, it's always something to consider. But like, yeah, I mean, it seems pretty straightforward when you look at the big picture.
Yeah. And Tommy was even saying that, you know, a lot of this is, you know, it seems vague. And when you read the lyrics, it's kind of hard to understand what's going on. I kind of felt that. I did feel like it was vague, but I think definitely outlining that there's two prospects, yes, just in the lyrics alone, helped me understand that these are two separate journeys. I didn't know the plot leading into it, but I knew that there was, you know, these two separate journeys. How did you feel going through it lyrically? Did you feel lost, or did you feel like you could kind of picture what was going on?
I felt a little bit lost. I was having some like Coheed and Cambria flashbacks where picking through the story PTSD. And I'm like, what perspective is he singing from? What part of the story is this? This is edgy Star Wars. But with this, it's a little more straightforward than what, like, I mean, Coheed and Cambria, you know, they're doing that shit across like multiple albums, and they're like, it's not just like, oh, we're going to start the story with like one song off of this album and flesh it out later. It's like every single album, every single song is like integral to the story, save for like one album. And with this, it's like a little easier to follow, I thought. Even like just reading through the lyrics, you can kind of get an idea of what's happening, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like as lost as I have with like previous concept albums, but I mean, I still, what you just like read and stuff definitely helps a lot
for sure. And I also feel that with it being broken out, it does seem like you're reading it as a perspective rather than just like more like a perspective diary rather than just plain lyrics vaguely describing something.
Yeah, having like in the lyric sheet and stuff, having like in brackets, it'll say like Prospect One, then they'll have like the lyrics, and then Prospect Two, then they'll have lyrics, and that kind of helps too.
So we mentioned earlier the importance of mirrors and how the context of the word parallax might be significant through like a metaphor for an object's relative position when looking at it in person and looking at its reflection in the mirror. So the consensus is that by some magical cosmic way that these two prospects are a mirror image of each other. Also, I don't know why they're called prospects. I don't know if it's like rather than explorer or passenger or anything like that, like what are they prospects for? Do you have any kind of guesses to what you think? Like I'm thinking, like if prospect number two works for the government, are they just both the prospects of trying to find, like, trying to find a purpose, whereas prospect two is trying to find a new earth and prospect one is trying to find his life?
Well, one of the definitions of prospect is a person regarded as likely to succeed or as a potential customer, client, etc.
So how would you take that definition and what you know so far?
I guess like you could look at it. I don't know about prospect one because it seemed like he just sort of had a little depression swim and ended up here.
Depression swim.
He had a little depression drift. But, you know, prospect two, it seems like, oh, maybe he's a new prospect for like colonizing a new world or like, you know, exploring this new world as a potential thing to like inhabit or, you know, learn from or something. So like I'm a, you know, a prospect for saving the world basically or something. I don't know. That might be a little too broad, but yeah, that could be interpreted that way.
I feel like you definitely stretched it there, but I also feel like what else could it mean?
Yeah, I feel like I think in interviews you read, it's like they're like, oh yeah, we've kept it a bit vague, and it's like I think they want people to speculate because that's what drives like discussion, and it's like that's what keeps these albums in like the zeitgeist for a bit longer. It's like, oh, I'm gonna go to the forums or go on social media and like talk about this album with other people, and then like it keeps it relevant.
And it's almost just like I could think of it where someone goes up to them and it's like, is this what the story is about? And then their eyes dart around, they go that's exactly what it's about.
Or they do a David Lynch thing where he'll be in an interview and he's like, you know, I've always considered Eraserhead to be one of my most spiritual films, and the interviewer goes, can you elaborate? And he goes, no. And it's like, yes.
What do you think it means?
It's like, yeah, it's whatever you want it to be, baby.
Yeah, can you elaborate? I got really high and I wrote it.
What's your interpretation? It's canon. There you go. Now go. Next question.
But, next question, please.
Yeah, I mean, prospect also is the possibility or likelihood of some future event occurring. And in a verb context, it's a search for mineral deposits in a place, especially by means of experimental drilling and excavation. So, yeah, I think no matter what, you just kind of got to stretch a little. Got to do a little Michael Jordan at the end of Space Jam kind of stretching. So
it's so funny you mentioned that because I briefly went through Space Jam when my kid was watching it. And I remember that scene, and something I caught that I didn't catch before was that I think it's when Newman, I don't remember his actual character, actual character's name.
Yeah, I know his real name, Wayne Knight.
Yeah, when he gets blown up like a balloon, and you know, all over the place, and Michael Jordan asks something like, you know, how does that? Or was it Michael Jordan? Or was it what's his name? Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
Where they ask, they said like, how did he do that? What happened? And it's like, it's Toon Land. Anything can happen. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And that's how Michael Jordan knows that he can stretch that far.
Yeah, that foreshadows the end.
Yeah. They plant that little thing, and I was like, oh, I never thought of that.
Foreshadowing 101.
Exactly, right? Yeah, I'm learning so much as a grown-up.
From Space Jam.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, prospect. Yeah. Basically, the raw definition of prospect is someone who's considered for something. So, I don't know. I feel like that's the closest thing I can think of as to why they're called prospects, or they thought it was just sounded cool and they didn't want to give them names.
Yeah, well, yeah, it keeps it vague.
I support that too.
So now that we have our build up, let's jump into the first track, which picks up with Prospect One. So the first track is called Specular Reflection. So it picks up with Prospect One, who has drifted out to the sea, which happened during Swim to the Moon. Lyrics from the song imply that Prospect One has been unconscious and floating out to sea, making a crash landing of sorts on an island, or perhaps even the moon.
Yes.
Unclear.
Unclear.
Yeah. So perhaps Prospect One has been awake from his sleep at sea and washes ashore on some island, whether it's real or in his mind, maybe he's dead and, you know, this is just where he's gone. Mm-hmm. He has left his past life behind, just like he wanted. Still, something doesn't seem right. He's disoriented and confused about where he is, maybe even showing initial signs of regret. But he is alive and well. But he's still having trouble breathing. He just wants to be woken up. Maybe he's in a coma or in some sort of hypersleep. Or maybe he thinks he is because of this like new location where he is. So during this event, he may be becoming more aware of Prospect 2 in his own mind, seeing visions of a distant face and referencing a mirror that stares back. Signs are starting to point that to some sort of connection that these two characters have, similar to the phenomenon in the Harry Potter universe where Harry and Voldemort catch brief glimpses of each other in their minds. That was Red. That wasn't me. I don't know enough Harry Potter to make that connection, but I did watch it.
Yeah.
You got me? Okay.
Yeah. I grew up with those. Anyway.
Yeah, I'll finish them one day. I don't know what the trans hate, but anyways.
Yeah, that's a whole other bag of worms.
I want to get into that. So we know, and this is pretty clear in the lyrics for Specular Reflection. You can tell, you know, he's saying it's been three nights and still the puzzle is cut by a shaky hand. So it's, you know, vague lyrics, but I can tell that you're clear that you've been awake for, you know, a few days and you don't know what's going on. Everything's kind of blurry. Mm-hmm. A crushing sound soon awakes. Where am I? Doesn't know where he's going. The life I fled, the grip I loosened, it's all cause and even pressure. The kind they show us on our screens. I've become what I force-fed my entire life. A drifter's dream, a loner's mind. Wanting what they have, their perfect smiles and heartless lusts. And then he says, on night four, they come back. So, is they the visions or is it aliens? What is it, right?
Yeah.
So, shortly after that, we get into Prospect 2. On Prospect 2's planet, which is on the brinks of destruction, he is on a mission of sorts. His quote-unquote lover, which is the headless wonder that sprouted a tree of life-esque plant from her neck in prequel to the sequel, is wilted away, as we discussed before, which brings about the end of the world, which is depicted in Lost Perfection. So we're introduced to Prospect 2 shortly after the mirror stares back at Prospect 1. It could be interpreted at this point that Prospect 2 is dreaming of his life prior to these events. The first paragraph of the introduction may refer to the time when he was with his lover before he is thrust back into the gravity of his current situation in the second paragraph, although this is challenged later during Augment of Rebirth. He is faced with the silence that is mentioned in Lost Perfection. He begins to jerk back in and out of a daydream self, which sounds an awful lot like Prospect 1's journey during Swim to the Moon. Mm. Like Prospect 1, Prospect 2 also seems to be having trouble breathing. The connections between two characters are getting stronger. He knows what mission he's on, and his final solo lyrics in the song foreshadow his role in saving humanity. So his final lyrics are beginning again. The runners come to a halt. The air seems half full. Walking to a certain state of suffocation. Confusion surrounds day after day. The question I face, the dealings I deal. Do I complete me? Do I complete humanity? The day will determine it all. That's a dope lyric.
Yeah.
I don't say dope often. That's pretty dope.
I say dope a lot. That is impressive. And I agree. That is a dope lyric. This day will determine it all.
I really like that part where he's saying, and this is kind of a question a lot of people would ask themselves in any situation, right? Do I do something for me or I do something for everybody else?
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah, that's some heavy shit.
Anything you want to chime in before I jump into Augment of Rebirth?
No.
Am I going too much for you? Do you want some time to kind of sink some stuff in?
Oh no, this is perfect. Musically, the song's dope. I mean, like I said, or like you said, don't have a lot of notes.
It was so hard to write the notes because I'm just like, this is sweet, this is sweet, this is sweet. Yep, yep, yep.
Haunting. And it, like the intro is with the like, yeah. It's really about to set up something cool. And then of course it follows through and it's amazing. Fuck.
Lost for words. It's the first time we've been lost for words musically.
Yeah, they really like, outdid themselves on this one.
This is easy to know what I'm putting it above, but it's hard to know how far above I'm going to rank it.
Oh, we're ranking this one, huh? Oh shit!
We have to. Yeah, why would we stop?
It's true. I didn't know if it would get special treatment being an EP.
No, man. If it's on the episode, it's got to get ranked. But I mean, the question comes: do we combine it with part two, or do we keep it a separate entity? I think we see where we line up with part two, and then see if they're close enough together, then they'll be treated as one entry.
Yeah, just lump them together as the Parallax Saga or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Augment of Rebirth starts with Prospect 2, but just to make it easy, let's start with Prospect 1 lyrics. It doesn't really matter, but we'll start with that.
Yeah.
So Prospect 1 is on this new land, dealing with life on the island. This mind-bending strategy game may simply be the act of survival. He seems to be regretting his decision to float away at sea and has built a signal to try to get help. He begins to question his motives and brushes off his attempt at escape from life. After all, worse things have happened and will happen, and whatever it is that he has done will not be the worst thing to ever happen. Still, he's not reassured they, quote-unquote they, have found him. Perhaps the people he was looking to signal and he is to be rescued. So, yeah, plenty of regret. You can see, like, the lyric mind-bending strategy game.
Yeah.
It's no matter what I do, it's been done. It's been worse. This is not reassuring. Imperfect, improper, extinct, they have found me a new journey. So I don't know the last part, but you can see that lots of regret is all over that middle part of those lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I want this? I must go back and explain my reasonings. Worst things have happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good shit.
Exactly. So let's go back to the beginning, yes. Prospect 2. And this Augment of Rebirth is mostly Prospect 2's songs, as he's dealing with his own journey and his mission and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So there's talks of a vessel staring back at him. What is the vessel? Is it like mechanical? Is it biological? It's what puts Prospect 2 in the state of hypersleep. Mm-hmm. Like, who knows what it is?
Yeah.
It could be a chamber. Again, if you've watched Interstellar, like they go into some sort of hypersleep when they find the planet and, you know, they're put underwater, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe while he's in hypersleep, he gets these visions. You know, because the beauty of when people are in hypersleep, you can travel these far distances. Like, I'm going to keep going back to the movie because it's like the perfect visualization of this, but it's like in certain planets, they're like their orbital sphere, time moves different. So on this one planet they go to, for every Earth hour is seven, sorry, for every hour on this new planet is 7 Earth years.
Ooh, okay.
So like they're on this planet trying to retrieve information and they have to rush out because just an hour and they've lost, and their hope is to get back home. They've lost 7 years. You know, one of them has a family. You lost 7 years of your fucking life. They don't age because they've only been gone an hour. Right. But that's the way time works over there. So, but if you're just traveling in space and you're in this hypersleep, do you stay with your internal time? It doesn't matter what time it is, where, how long you've been driving or anything. You're almost like frozen in time.
Yeah.
So you wake up and your body's still fine. Everything's still fine. So that's what we're discussing here is this vessel. Like, what is this vessel is? As we know, he's working on completing his mission. Maybe he's trying to replant life by, you know, planting eggs or seeds. And probably getting this godlike complex, which is referenced in here. He also is talking about, where is it here? Crumbling stars, no, awaken. There's, oh, here it is. Siren of loneliness. This is real, isn't it? Can't tell if these days, the longest fucking days, why the anger, I wonder. The mission must stay focused. I work day in and day out. So he's all like by himself. His one mission is to do this all by himself.
Yeah.
And then the lyrics that repeat is to create, to recreate. Have I become a god? I have been called much worse. So if he is tasked with putting these seeds and these eggs into the planet, that kind of creates this godlike complex. You know, I can see being alone, how that can get to you.
Yeah. It seems like he almost enjoys it.
Yeah, but he's also struggling with it too.
Yeah, because he says this godlike complex does bring me a smile. So like he's struggling with it, but also like there's a part of him that's like, oh yeah, I could get used to this. But also, you know, there's the internal strife that's also happening.
And talking about down to the last seed, I stand with a dark stare, still silent, still frighteningly silent. I must leave myself. That's what all of this has gotten me. Infinite life, conquering of death. So does he feel like, does that further the god complex? He feels like he is immortal. You know, he can't die. He's avoided death. He becomes like obsessed with this idea, and you can see he continues to bring it on and linger on it.
Yeah.
He eventually comes to the conclusion though, that he must move on and grow from this experience. So, which is at the end where he says, I'll make my own life seem new, face all of my mistakes and grow, must grow. A lot of character development in just a few lines.
Yeah. At least they got like 10 minutes to do it.
Yeah, right. So. Yeah, this song clocks at 10:19. I was so surprised at how long these songs were too. Like the listening to this one, it was nice to go back and listen to another Between the Bear and Me on vinyl, where I couldn't do that for Colors or The Great Misdirect. But this one, I have the special record save version, and like you'll see on Instagram, and like I sent you, oh, it's so gorgeous to look at.
Yeah, it's a good looking vinyl. I like when they go all out for the wax and
for the wax. Before we jump into Lunar Wilderness, I want to just gauge your thoughts. Ooh. What are you thinking story wise so far? Are you clear? Have I painted more of a picture for you than what you had before? Do you think you know where it's going?
Yeah,
all those questions.
I think things are a lot more clear now than when I was just kind of casually listening to it and picking through the lyrics. Having a pretty robust description out there online.
Do you feel like you can visualize it?
A little bit, yeah. Like just a little bit, but yeah.
I feel like I mean, so many years have passed since this, but can someone make this into a graphic novel or a movie or a TV show? Like flesh this idea out and do something like that?
Yeah, throw money at these guys. Come on.
Yeah, someone gives these guys some fucking money, right?
Some HBO guy just like grab the rights to this or something.
Tommy, how much money you need?
Yeah.
If
Coheed and Cambria can do a bunch of fucking comics.
Yeah, but they don't have death metal jazz fusion.
That's true. They're like the more arena east side of prog rock.
Exactly.
Pop punk arena prog.
Yeah. I should probably get back to them. I've only heard like a few, like mainly their radio hits. So I know they're not radio hits, but you know what I mean?
They're
like,
bigger ones. Yeah.
Welcome Home and all that stuff.
They were my favorite band in high school. And, over the years, their albums just kind of got worse and worse to me. But hey, maybe we can do a Coheed and Cambria deep dive.
It's a deep dive, man. That's how it's going. That's how we do.
That's how we do it.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Let's go to Lunar Wilderness.
Yes.
So the title of Lunar Wilderness could be a reference to Prospect One's surroundings and add some confirmation that he has made it to his idea of, quote unquote, the moon. The lush music in the intro does a great job of creating a soundscape that builds the scenery of the moon. And yeah, I could see that.
I can see that, yeah.
The intro is what we used on our introduction episode when we discussed what this show was going to be.
Yeah.
And it's just that it's kind of came back. You're like, oh, I remember this. It's so beautiful and kind of
very dreamy.
Dreamy, and I don't know what the word I'm finding, but it's like when you're finding yourself, like self-awareness. And,
I was gonna say kind of contemplative and.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Prospect One has lost his perception of time in a sort of a daze. In Augment of Rebirth, he mentioned having to explain his reasoning, and it looks like he's having to do that now, and it's not being taken well, as any other suicide attempt. He speaks of hitting land again, making his way back through the body of water he found himself in during Swim to the Moon. He's on his way back home, it seems, but still, there's this sense of confusion and unease with everything. When we jump to Prospect, so it does start with Prospect One. You know, you can see,
yes.
How the front door opened to the look of death. Will this make sense? Will it be comforting at all? The questions dive in day and night. Nothing we could do, nothing I could do. Twists and turns must be answered. I hit land, so it seems, and so forth, so forth. So we start with Prospect One, and then from here on out, we're talking to Prospect Two. And again, you can tell musically, the song does change from an instrumental perspective. So this here on out is the climax of Hypersweet Dialogues. So it's where we discover who Prospect Two is and what he's doing, which we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So there are some lyrics in parentheses, which we talked about, the out of focus picture brings up a familiar scenario, all that kind of stuff. These lyrics that are not in the song, that are only in the notes, this is the plot twist of the story, as we discover he's a character mentioned in the previous discographies.
Yes.
So people on his home planet have been recreating and multiplying, but they did not have the resources to sustain the population. Perhaps he had an opportunity to end it himself, but didn't take the chance. It looks though there's a possibility that the EP, from his point of view up to this point, has been a flashback or a series of memories coming back to him while he's been in stasis and on the way to Prospect One's planet to find a way to cure his own. He remembers what happened while he was in a deep sleep inside his vessel, noticing that his skin is scarred, torn, and broken, possibly a reference to the lyrics, "The skies open up, the flames pour in," which happens during The Lost Perfection. And he comes to the conclusion that he's too late. His home planet, all he's ever known and loved, is now lost. The whole EP has foreshadowed this fate with a constant theme, silence. The lyrics of Lost Perfection speak of loud noises until the noise stops. And you can see at the very last lyric in Lunar Wilderness is silence. It's home, the empty space of home. All I've ever known is gone. All I've loved is lost. Silence. So going forward, we have Prospect 2's planet is destroyed. He's on his way to meet Prospect 1's planet, where they will meet and try to save humanity. But it only gets more interesting from here, which is where we get into the future sequence, which we're not going to talk about because we haven't listened to that yet.
Basically.
So, yes, it's like a prequel. It sets up so much.
Yeah.
Is this going to become a journey of these two guys working together, or these two people, I should say, working together? Or is it going to be one of these cases where, you know, Prospect 2 has to, and I'm just guessing here, has to kill Prospect 1 to kind of take that life? And since Prospect 1 doesn't want to live anymore, does it work out that way? Yeah, are they the same?
Yeah, fine, please kill me.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm here to murder you.
Oh, thank God.
And which weapon would you like? But I must say this because, like, this is the first time I've dive deep in any of this lyrically.
Same.
Yeah. So I'm just making, and I want you to kind of make your own visions as well. Is this a multiverse, multi-dimension type thing? Is this the same person on a different planet? Like, is this a variant of Prospect One? Is Prospect Two a variant coming back to, or is this like a future thing? Next album's called Future Sequences. Is he from the future, even though it's from another planet? Is he, follow me here, tell me if I'm making sense.
keep on.
Did this happen already? Prospect 1 is the future of Prospect 2. He's already on that healthy planet. And because of everything he did, I'm like blowing my own mind because I'm thinking about this as I'm telling it to you. As Prospect 1... Okay, let me start again. Prospect 1 is possibly Prospect 2 from the future. Mm-hmm. Prospect 1 already did all these things. He found the planet. He found the new planet. He gave life to it. He went through the God complex, all that stuff. And then once life got back to normal, that's when the depression and everything hit in. And that's why he's looking to end his life. Like he wishes, you know, he had all those things, but he's going to end his life. And he's having the dreams about meeting himself. Is that because that happened prior, where his old self, Prospect 2, met his new self on the way to his planet? Did I like fuck your brain up, or did that make sense?
Yes.
It made sense?
Yeah, I think it made sense. I follow. I'm just sitting here thinking, like, man, what if that is true?
You're sitting here thinking, what is he smoking? It would have been great if right before I said that, I went, okay, listen.
Hear me out, guys. Have you ever tried DMT? no, I think...
I literally thought of that as I was, like, I just had the idea and I just started spitting it out as I thought of it. And I don't know if I'm crazy or not, but it sounds like it's logical.
I feel like they would do something like that. I just know to, like, be ready for any story twists, because I'm sure they'll throw a lot of wrenches in the, you know, in the plot. Like, you'll expect one thing and then they'll, like, it'll just do something completely different. Mm-hmm. Or you're bang on and Tommy, the lead singer, is gonna like contact you and be like, hey, how'd you know all that?
Well, again, this could all be explained in part two, future sequences, right? This could all be clear as space. But again, I have not read ahead. I don't know this for a fact. I never really listened to music lyrically. Like, I know lyrics a lot of songs, but I never think twice about them. This is the first time I've ever done deep dives like this.
Yeah, I haven't deep dived like a, especially like a concept album.
Yeah.
You know, not since like, oh God, like, probably like Coheed and Cambria in high school and stuff, or mm-hmm. like, to a lesser extent, more like densely crafted albums like To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. That album is just like drenched in a lot of metaphor and a lot of subtext.
I can't do the heavy metaphors. That's the problem, because then I'm just like, what am I supposed to be reading here?
Oh man, we should talk about To Pimp a Butterfly one day. Anyway,
we can.
Oh, dude, don't tempt me. I will go insane in a good way. But yeah, I don't know. I think with like the Parallax 2, I feel like there will be a lot to talk about story wise as well as musically. There's like a 15 minute song on there, and and like even the first track, not to jump into the album, but like, you know, the first track is called Goodbye to Everything, so it's like picking up from that twist of like, oh shit, my home planet's destroyed. So like, it gets right into it, it seems like, just going by the track title.
Yeah. And I hope so. Do you have any, before we wrap it up, do you have any predictions of where it's going? I kind of threw a lot at you, but do you have any predictions of where it's going?
My only predictions are that Prospect 1 and 2 mm-hmm. they are in the same time, but in parallel universes, so maybe they can't interact, but they get vague little like visions of each other.
Oh,
but that's the most like that's the most like soup brained prediction I have.
Well, we're kind of on the same boat, so it'd be nice to see if we're both completely wrong.
Yeah, I was gonna say, tune in next week when we get owned by context.
Same BT BAM time, same BT BAM channel. Okay, So nice. We initially thought we were going to run through this in 30 minutes because the album's only 30 minutes, but this has been like an amazing episode. Really enjoyed this, dissecting this. I've actually feel like I've enjoyed dissecting a story more than the music itself, because music is fucking banging.
Yeah.
So give me one of your gems, barn burners. Give me a new one.
A real house torture.
Okay. See, now you're just using a thesaurus. I don't even trust you anymore.
A real shed fire starter.
You fucking lazy asshole.
Yeah, that one wasn't very good.
No, you had them and you lost them. You weren't doing them enough.
Barn burner.
Yes, fine. We'll just get the fucking barn burner. I want to give a big shout out to the website heavyblogisheavy.com. They are where I got a lot of what I've read from. It was very easily digestible. And like some parts I read for you verbatim, and some parts I broke apart with my own notes. But yeah, they explain things in such a clear way and break it out in such a beautiful way. So shout out to them. Heavyblogisheavy.com. It's an article from when it came out in 2012. So check that out. Now, for me and you, where does this album rank for you on the list?
I
recall, you had number one, Colors.
Yes.
Number two, you had Great Misdirect.
Yes.
Number three, you had Alaska. Number four, you had Silent Circus. And five, you had Self-Titled.
Yes.
Okay. So, and for me, we flipped Great Misdirect and Alaska. So tell me where Parallax Hypersleep Dialogues ranks on your list.
I feel like my takes are going to get hotter and hotter as we go.
Sizzling. Give it to me, baby.
Keep in mind, you know, I still think Alaska is very good, so it pains me to say this, but I think this one goes in third place. I think it goes Colors, Great Misdirect, and then Hypersleep Dialogues.
Okay.
Great Misdirect, just by virtue of it being like a full-bodied album, and you know, I'm kind of saving my hype for like the Parallax 2, and depending on how that is, I might bump the EP up along with it, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I think after we listen to the Parallax 2, we might consider combining them, but
yeah,
let's save that for right now. We'll give it a temporary spot.
Yes.
So yeah, you give it your temporary spot, I'll give it mine.
Yes.
So mine is, once again, pains me. It's definitely going above Alaska, unfortunately. Not because it's just because of everything that it does right. And it's a really tough battle with Colors. Even though I know it's just the EP, it's been a while since I've heard Future Sequence, but if Future Sequence does what I think it's going to do for me, it might topple Colors.
Oh my God.
Number one. Yes. It might topple Colors off. It's very close.
Next week's going to be very exciting.
Especially if we combine these two together. So, yeah. My listing is Colors, Parallax Hypersleep Dialogues, Alaska, I think Silent Circus? No, Great Misdirect,
yeah.
Silent Circus, and Self-Titled.
Nice.
It's going to be a doozy.
Yeah,
it's going to be a doozy.
Uncharted territory for me. I barely did so much as like skim this album. So it's like basically listening to it for the first time.
I remember loving it. I just don't remember how much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
for going on this adventure with me, man. This is very exciting. This is the most excited I've been about music in a very long time.
We're getting there. We're getting closer and closer to Colors too.
I will also link the Heavy Blog is Heavy, where I've pulled a lot of this from, just so if people want to read along, they can. Until next time, get some sleep, everybody.
Yeah. Sweet dreams. Get some good hypersleep. Okay, I'm done.